Welcome to Belfast City Vineyard, where we are pursuing formation in the presence of Jesus, community gathered around him, and the impact he empowers us to bring in our families, city, and the world. The following message was given at one of our Sunday services. For more information, visit our website at belfastcityvineyard.com.
It's Pentecost Sunday, and this little mini-series has been, we've called it Get Ready, Get Filled, Get Going. And so we're just going to leap right in. I'm actually going to do all I can to speak for a shorter amount of time to give us some space for ministry. So that'll be fun. So here we go. So Pentecost Sunday. What is it? Pentecost. Pente means 50. And at the first Pentecost, it coincided with an agricultural festival, a festival called the Festival of Weeks, that was celebrated 50 days after Passover. And that was part of the Jewish calendar, happened all every year. And if you recall your preaching through Luke's gospel, that was amazing. You recall that Jesus' death and resurrection took place kind of over Passover. And now we see the Holy Spirit arriving upon the disciples 50 days after his death and resurrection. So Pente means 50, coincides with this festival. So the church through the ages has celebrated the coming of the Spirit 50 days after Easter, Pentecost Sunday, which is right here, right now. So we are going to just read this really quick. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. So you have, in this scenario, the disciples together, you have crowds, you have wind symbolizing the presence of God, the breath of God, then you have what looks like tongues of fire. Fire also in the scriptures symbolizes the presence of God. If you remember from Sunday school, God spoke to Moses from a bush that looked like it was burning. God's presence led the children of Israel through a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire. And then we saw in Luke's gospel that John the Baptist says, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So Acts chapter 2, Pentecost is the fulfillment of that promise. And it says that they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. We talked about that last week. I'm not going to go over it again. We talked about filling, baptism, all that stuff. So if you missed that, you can grab it on the podcast. But what is happening here is a fulfillment of what the prophets promised. It's a fulfillment of the promise of Jesus that he would send the gift of the Spirit. The crowds, actually, if you read on in Acts chapter 2, they accuse the apostles of being drunk. So they must have actually looked a bit woozy and things like that, as well as mighty winds and tongues of fire. So a lot happening and a lot going on. But Peter, the apostle Peter, gets up to preach. And he uses the prophet Joel's words to explain what is actually happening. So this is Acts chapter 2. So Peter's quoting Joel, the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. So Peter is saying what Joel the prophet and lots of other prophets said would happen one day. That's happening right here, right now. This is for everyone, young and old, men and women. It's marked by signs and wonders. It's here. It's from Jesus. Later on, Peter is still preaching, and he gives this beautiful picture of Jesus pouring out the Holy Spirit. God has raised this Jesus to life. We are all witnesses of it. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. It's a gift from Jesus to his church, and we cannot do without it. There's this wonderful theologian called Craig Keener, and another wonderful theologian called Derek Morphew. They're really helpful in interpreting what is actually happening here with this. And they point this out. So in this next section, anything smart is from them, not from me, okay? I'm just kind of the reporter in this bit. So, but I found it really important to help frame it and to set us up with what are we supposed to do with Pentecost other than to celebrate once a year a bunch of stuff happened to the disciples, happy days, right? I think it's a bit more than that, and we're about to see this. And these two theologians call this what's happening is a succession narrative, a succession narrative. And they point out that Luke and Acts is keen to show Jesus is the fullness of what the Old Testament promises. And the Old Testament characters that Jesus' ministry looks the most like is actually the prophetic duo of Elijah and Elisha. Or sometimes he's called Elisha here. Yes?
Yeah.
I'm showing my nation of origin, I guess. So I'll say Elisha. You just interpret what you know, anyway. Elijah, who is Elijah? Elijah was a prophet and a miracle worker, and he led something known as the Company of the Prophets in the Old Testament. You can read about him in 1 Kings. Elisha was his follower and disciple, and you can read about him in 2 Kings. In Luke chapter 4, Jesus compares his times that he is living and ministering in to the times of Elijah and Elisha. And if you compare the ministries of Jesus and Elijah, Elisha, you see the following comparisons. Both healed leprosy, both multiplied food, both raised the dead, both operate in prophetic gifting and supernatural knowledge. Both Jesus and Elijah and Elisha had power flowing from their bodies. Really interestingly, in Elijah's ministry and in Jesus' ministry, they both ascend into heaven, and then their anointing falls on their successor. Okay? In the case of Elijah to Elisha, a double portion of his spirit or his anointing falls from Elijah to Elisha. When they had crossed the river, doesn't say that, but there you go, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me, what can I do for you before I am taken from you? Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit," Elisha replied. "You have asked a difficult thing," Elijah said. "Yet if you see me when I am taken from you, it will be yours. Otherwise, it will be not." As they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire, see, fire is there again, and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them, and Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elisha saw this and cried out, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel. And Elisha saw him no more. Then he took hold of his garment and tore it in two. The company of the prophets from Jericho who were watching said, "The spirit of Elijah is resting on Elisha." And they went to meet him and bowed to the ground before him. So you have this amazing scene where the spirit of one falls on his successor, this double portion, so much so that this company of the prophets can't even see that it's actually happened, and they bow before him. And if you go on and read about Elisha, you can tell from the scriptures that he did twice as many miracles as his predecessor and mentor, Elijah. Well, Jesus promises his disciples that they will do greater things than he did. That's in John chapter 14. Other places he tells them he is sending the Spirit to fill them for mission. They're appointed and commissioned by Jesus to go into all the earth. They saw him lifted up and taken out of their sight, last chapter of Luke. And then at Pentecost, the Spirit of God is poured out upon them, empowering them for service in Jesus' name. They are the successors to Jesus' ministry. They receive the double portion. The Spirit rests on them visibly, and they carry the ministry of Jesus, not in ones or twos or small companies of the prophets, but the Spirit of God is now available to fill all who call on his name, to fill the whole church for all time, even you and me, to carry on the mission of Jesus. As Elijah's mantle fell on Elisha, and as other prophetic disciples sought to emulate their mentors, so the ascending Jesus empowered his church with a spirit to carry on his mission to the ends of the earth. Believe it or not, you are meant to carry on Jesus's ministry. Believe it or not, you are in on this action. Jordan Tsang says this: "It is often helpful to reassure people that the baptism of the Spirit is not about our basic salvation." In other words, you know, if you flopped on the floor, then you're saved or something like that, or tongues of fire. Jesus didn't say that the baptism qualified you to be a follower. He said it's empowered you to be a great witness. The Holy Spirit fills us with power to witness to Jesus. Get ready, get filled, get moving. And here is the power. So immediately after the empowering of the Spirit, Peter doesn't read a Christian book. He doesn't book into another conference. He doesn't watch a video on YouTube. He preaches the gospel and becomes a witness. Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep his hold on him. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. And he invites them to repent. He invites them to place their faith and hope and trust in Jesus. And he even says, you will have the Holy Spirit as well. At Pentecost, Jesus is pouring out the Holy Spirit upon his church so that it continues his mission, empowering the church to be witnesses to the reality and power of Jesus and the availability of life with him, and also to go and see what happens to lives and families and cities and organizations and streets and businesses and cultures when the kingdom of God is established and contended for. And that's all there for us as well. Get ready, get filled, get moving. Are we ready? Are we open for more of the Spirit's power? Are we ready to get moving? Are we ready to carry on the ministry of Jesus as his successors wherever he happens to send us? Last week we talked about how to get more of the Spirit. We said hang out with people that want more, consecrate yourselves, or maybe prepare. We said a big one was our posture. If we aren't responding to our calling from God, if we aren't stepping out in faith in any way, shape, or form, probably one of the reasons, it's probably one of the reasons we don't see much power. And I, helpfully or unhelpfully, said you don't need power to go to Tesco's. Filling of the Holy Spirit is about power for ministry. What is our posture? And most of the time in churches, what we hear is, I'll do that thing that God's calling me to when I'm empowered. Well, you get power when you need it, not usually long before you go. Peter was filled continually multiple times in the book of Acts, usually right before he was supposed to do something in Jesus' name. If we want more, we need to get moving. It's time to get moving. Now is the time. Three quick comments, each of which is a whole sermon in and of itself, so they'll just be really rapid fire, and then we're going to pray. Oops. There we go. The first thing to talk about is control. We like to think we're in control of things until other things happen, right? Then we realize we're not. One of the criticisms of Holy Spirit stuff and big fears is loss of control. We don't want to lose control. That's big for me. I like to think I'm in control. I like to control things. Well, the problem with that is the Holy Spirit can't be controlled, and nor does he like it when we try. And just ask yourself, do you like to be around controlling people? It's not a trick question. No is the answer to that. Well, neither does the Holy Spirit. Just look at Acts. Jesus said, wait for power. And then it was all beyond their control. How they got it, where the Spirit sent them, how it turned up, that was all beyond their control. And I'm not saying we need to be stupid or unwise. The Bible talks a lot about wisdom and discernment. But the ancient Celtic Christians called the Holy Spirit the wild goose for a reason. He goes where he wants. The book of Acts, the Holy Spirit did things the apostles were sure he shouldn't be doing. Part of this is letting Jesus be Lord, the Spirit lead us and fill us, and being obedient. The ultimate question is, do I want to worship a God that I can control? Well, if I can control him, he's not much of a Lord. And we may actually be worshiping a God made in my own image. If he would just do everything that I would do, how I would do it. Jesus is in control. We need to let the wild goose fly. And how do I handle that? I just pray. I've been praying a lot this morning. Jesus, I place my situation, my life, my family, this church, into your hands. I place this moment when someone lays hands on me, I place that into your hands. I want what you want. I'm not in control. I trust you to be in control. There you go. It's the controlling person's prayer to let go. This next one, this is not in response to anything any of you have said to me this month or week or an email you've sent me. This is just God spoke this to me. It might feel like I'm having a go at you in particular and specific, but I'm not. This is something God spoke to me without. It'll become clear in just a second. People like me, who are my age, I'm 44 and older, what happens without fail when we start talking about the Holy Spirit in church, healing, miracles, that stuff, people like me, people have been around the block a few times and have been around long enough to know that life isn't always great, suffering's real, and so is grief and loss and disappointment, we get nervous, right? And I feel like this, and lots of us feel like we need to talk about suffering, and we need to talk about how hard life is. And we need to be careful not to whip things up with the Holy Spirit. Not to, you know, because we're not waving this magic wand and then everybody has an awesome life, right? And we feel like we just got to get, got to throttle back all the time. Don't get too wild. Don't go too far with the Holy Spirit. Temper your expectations. Well, I think that as a church, we're pretty honest about suffering, disappointment, and waiting, and loss. And the truth is, we all will suffer, and we will face hard things and disappointment. And again, I felt God speaking to me this week. The disciples got the Holy Spirit. The church through the ages gets the Holy Spirit and goes as far as it can with the Holy Spirit, not to make things easier, but because things are hard. The disciples faced persecution, hardship, and death. And because of that, they needed more, not less, of the Holy Spirit and devotion to Jesus. Not less, not throttle back, move forward. Because it's hard. Because this is how you're going to make it. So, if you're my age or older, and if you have the same lean as I do, which is, whoa, dial it back, I am begging you not to do that. When you see our children and our youth and people in their 20s and people in their 30s and 40s and 50s, will you be honest with them that, yeah, life is hard and love them well, but instead of backing off, let's push forward and say, because it's hard, you need the Spirit of the living God more, not less. And the good news is you can have more and more and more and more of him. And we who have suffered should be the most passionate about the laying on of hands and making sure our young people, our young leaders, our singles, our families have the Spirit and have continued fillings of the Spirit. Not for escapism, but because we all face hard things. That's how they're going to make it. And let's go for the Spirit ourselves. Let's be the crazy aunts and uncles and grandparents who love them and love the Holy Spirit and serve them, but make sure they have the Spirit so that they have power to do hard things in Jesus' name. And then lastly, heaviness. A sermon a while ago, we talked about unintentional spiritual formation. The city we live in even forms us, whether we realize it or not. And we said, and many of you resonated with this, that one of the most common things about Belfast is tiredness and heaviness, or else we're all just knackered all the time. And that's for lots of natural reasons. Life is busy and hard. There are seasons to life. If you have young children, you're probably going to be tired. And that's not the devil. That's just a season. Others of us, we try and live without Sabbath, or we live without healthy rhythm, so that's part of it. But some of it actually is spiritual. I don't think anyone would argue with me to say that over the course of time, Belfast has been and still is a pretty religious place, and usually when people say that, they're not making a compliment. It's a place that's not always welcomed the Holy Spirit. Religion is us working to save ourselves. Following Jesus is life with him who worked to save us and empowers us with his Spirit. There's a big difference. And when we as Christians work in our own strength, we quickly tire and burn out. And when we encounter the Spirit, there's life. The Nicene Creed, which I memorized as a boy, talks about the Holy Spirit. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and it calls him the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. The Holy Spirit brings life. And if you feel heaviness, Isaiah chapter 61 mentions the spirit of despair. Well, if you get into the original, it's actually some translations call it spirit of heaviness. And the antidote towards it is, of course, a garment of praise, so we need to worship. But if you jump up a bit, you see this oil of joy instead of mourning. And oil is a symbol of the Spirit in the Scriptures. If we're under the yoke of heaviness or the spirit of heaviness, we need to welcome the Spirit of God, which is exactly what we're going to do now, because I'm done. And so here's what we're going to do. I'm going to invite you to stand, and we're going to have just some extended time. And our children were in with us, which means it's only Sundays where I have a little bit of time extra even in the bank, because they were with us. And so, and if you remember last week, we're not going to do any hype, and you have nothing to be afraid of. No one is going to make you do anything. I don't need you to do anything. But we're just going to wait and give the Holy Spirit time and space. There will be prayer ministry. There will be prophetic ministry if you want that. But that will come at the end. I have a few things that I feel the Lord wants to do. But firstly, we're just going to wait. And if you're like me, you need to pray the controlling person's prayer. So just pray that out silently in your heart, that Jesus, I just give you this space. You can do whatever you want to do to me. And then, again, as I said last week, I really don't care what happens. Some people, you can see the effect of the Holy Spirit on their body, and that's wonderful, that's great. Others of us, more like me, it's like praying for the wall, and just nothing happens, right? And I don't mind what does or doesn't happen. I really am interested in what God is doing in the deep and the inner place that then will come to pass in the hours, days, months, and years to come. So some people fall over, fine. I'm not stressed out about that. I really don't care if you do or not. I really care what happens after you get up. That's the important part. So what somebody else is doing or not doing, don't worry about that. What's happening to you, don't worry about that. Again, this is not just a Pentecost Sunday thing. We're just using that as a nice excuse, but we're just going to minister. So I'm going to wait a little bit. That might feel uncomfortable. Don't worry. Just close your eyes or leave them open. I don't mind. You're in charge of you. And we're just going to be really low-key. And I did wear a jacket, but I didn't wear a white suit, so it's not going to be one of those kind of meetings. So John Wimber, when he used to say, people used to say, how do you prepare for times like this where you invite the Holy Spirit's presence? And he used to say, well, I drink a Diet Coke. And it's just a way to just say, look, we're just ordinary followers of Jesus. We're inviting the Spirit's presence to minister to us, and we want to dial down the hype instead of dial it up. We want authenticity, and so just relax. Holy Spirit, we invite you to increase your presence. We know you've been with us, but we would be so honored if you would increase your presence with us now. And Lord, we don't want hype. We want real encounter. So would you come and touch us? Would you come and refresh us? We just give up control. Just invite you to manifest your presence, Holy Spirit, and manifest the goodness of Jesus. So where there's insurmountable obstacles, would you show us ways over those, around those? One of the things I would so love, Holy Spirit, is if you would do what you love to do and really manifest the love of Jesus in us in a tangible way. So we just wait for you now. We're going to just be silent for a minute or two. Just going to wait. We're just going to keep waiting, so just relax. The Lord is beginning to move in different parts of the room on some of us. That's wonderful. There's a deep stillness available for all of us. A rest for your souls that's beginning to just expand. Some of you can just really even feel that in your, almost like in your gut, like an expansion of peace. It's just the Holy Spirit's presence. We're just going to wait for just a few more minutes. Some of us, this is the stillest we've been in a month. So we're just going to wait just a little bit more. Just rest in his presence.
I was talking to a guy recently who waited 25 minutes when he was asking the Lord for a word about something that he was praying about. And it just made me realize how impatient I am. And I want the Holy Spirit now. And I want to be able to say, come now, do this now. But he gets to decide when now is. And so just by waiting, we're surrendering control. Not just as individuals, but as a church community. Holy Spirit, we surrender control.
I just want to pray into that thing about heaviness. And if you feel that for you, you don't need to do anything other. Maybe just put your hand on your heart or something like that, or open your hand out or something like that. Again, not magic or anything. You're just saying, look, this is, I feel this. So Holy Spirit, would you pour out your presence? And would you lift off heaviness? Anywhere where we are trying to earn approval, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would manifest the truth of the gospel in our hearts, that Jesus has paid it all, and he worked perfectly on our behalf. And if we have committed our lives to him, we can rest in that forever. The work's done, debt paid, no condemnation, rest. So would you, Holy Spirit, let the oil of gladness come? Would you break the yoke of unbelief? Would you break the yoke of heaviness and burden that others or even the enemy would want to put on us? Come and minister to heaviness. Breathe on your people. Some of us, we know that's us. We know we've been trying to earn something or prove something. Just in the quiet of your own heart, if that is you, would you just confess that out before the Lord, that, Lord, I lay that down. I'm sorry. I don't want to pick that up again. I'm done. I receive your mercy and your goodness and the truth of your gospel to me. So, Lord, as we lay things down in repentance, would you fill us with your presence afresh?
And we've laid down our heaviness. We have repented. We've said sorry for partnering with heaviness. And so now we open our hearts and we open our hands to receive the oil of gladness and the joy and the fullness of life that you, Holy Spirit, breathe on us. So would you come and breathe on us now? Breathe on us now. It might be helpful to do deep breaths. Just breathe in the Holy Spirit. And breathe out the heaviness. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. The enemy wants you to hold on to it. Get rid of it. Come, Holy Spirit, and drive out that heaviness. And we receive the joy. We receive the lightness in our spirit. Some of you are smiling a little bit. That's good. Keep receiving it. Keep receiving the lightness. That's good.
We're just going to transition a little bit, and felt like there's just a couple of different groups of people that should come forward for ministry. And again, if you feel you've been plagued by that heaviness and want someone to pray for you, we would love to do that. If you want to meet Jesus, we want to introduce you to him. If you want to begin following him, we want to do that. So you could come up. Others of us, you really fit into the category I was placing myself into. You always want to throttle back. And actually, if we're honest, the fire in our belly's gone out. And we would like it back. Well, we want to pray for you. And it's just going to, we'll just love to lead you through a time of repentance for throttling back on the Holy Spirit. So we would love to pray for you. Others of you, you've never felt like you've received the Holy Spirit or been filled by the Spirit or anything like that. We want to pray for you. And then others of us, when I started to talk about get moving, and now is the time, you've known now is the time for a long time. And it's time to go. And it's time to lead. It's time to lead in this place. It's time to get back to doing some things you were doing and stop doing. It's time to lead at work. It's time to lead in your family. It's time to go. It's time to go. It's time to go. And we would love to pray for you. We want to see you filled with the Spirit's power for ministry. And I felt in particular, there is, not to get all hyper-charismatic about it, but a Joseph anointing for people who, Joseph ended up running Pharaoh's household. So for those of you that work for other people or work in big organizations, business, education, healthcare, you're a department leader or something like that, the Lord wants to put favor on you and wisdom on you and revelation, give revelation to you, give you strategy so others can flourish and so the whole thing moves forward and many are blessed.
Just fitting in with that, I had a sense as we were waiting there of those of you who own your own businesses. I saw you being squeezed. In every transaction, people are trying to cut your margins down, and I felt like it's bled into your identity. It spoke to who you are. And I feel like God wanted to say afresh today that you're incredibly valuable, that you're not just what you produce, And there's something about favor on your businesses. You get to work out with Jesus how you steward that. But you're incredibly valuable, and he wants to affirm those businesses that you run and bless them with his favor. If that's you, we'd love to pray for you as well.
So if there's any of you want to respond to those words, if you just want more, we will pray for you for more of the Holy Spirit, another filling or the first filling, whichever it is. If you want to start coming forward, if you're injured or ill and want someone to pray for you, or if there's something big going on, of course we'll pray for those things as well. But just start coming up here. The prayer ministry team can come. There also will be the prophetic team. They'll be over on this side of the hall, and they would love to do some prophetic ministry with you, so you can avail yourselves of that. But we would love to pray for you. So come start filling this space, and then I'm going to pick some other people to come and help me do some impartation. So come on up here. We're just going to get moving here. Okay, so while these people are coming and gathering, and if you want to join them in a second, strength in numbers, I know how it goes. I'm going to just pray a general prayer, and then we'll be formally done. So if you're just in the place where I need a cup of coffee, and that's fine, you can go grab that or collect your children. But if you do want to stay in God's presence, you can stay down here. Or if you do want ministry, we would love to pray for you. So I'm just going to pray a general prayer, and we'll dismiss and do ministry all at the same time. Father, thank you so much for the gift of the Spirit. We pray for increase, manifestation of the Spirit now in each room, not just for a great morning, but for the rest of our days. I pray that you would reboot the vineyard, reset us with an increased level of the Spirit. We're grateful for what's gone before, and we say we've reached a point where we can't move forward without more. So come, Holy Spirit, begin to fall and rest on these people and every person here, from the youngest to the oldest. Come, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For all the latest information about what's happening in the life of our church, or if you have any questions or comments, head over to BelfastCityVineyard.com.